beginning a series. It's just rather brief. We kind of started last week, Finding My Fit. Today we're going to be tackling the first of four different areas that are kind of our theme as we would be able to see what is our vision and our mission. And the first is getting my worship on. So it's talking all about worship. And so the message of worship is going to be helping us to understand it. Let's look at this first.
Hello?
Welcome to Drive Through Worship. Would you like to try our new hands-free worship?
Look, just turn down the guitars. That music is too loud. No loud music. Oh, and keep the sermon short this week.
Is there anything else?
Oh, and don't make us pray in the service. And no drums.
Would you like hymns with that?
Look, just play some hymns on the piano. And did I mention no guitar? Okay.
Welcome to Drive Through Worship. Would you like to try our new hands-free worship?
Josh, should I touch her one more time? Oh, hi. Hold on! Okay, we're going to have fast music, lots of jumping, a real short sermon, and maybe a mime would be good for that. And graham crackers with apple juice. Thank you so much.
Josh,
please pull forward. Welcome to Drive Through Worship.
Yeah, no music for me, please. No clapping, no shaking hands. Oh, and no passing plates. I'm on a tight budget. Thanks.
Please pull forward. Welcome to Drive Through Worship. Can I help you?
Oh, hey, what kind of music you guys got here? I love the rock and roll, man. It's so cool. Yeah, and don't make me lift my hands up, though. That's kind of awkward, kind of weird. Anyway, 20-minute talk is good. Not any longer. Got places to go, you know what I mean? Yeah, I love this church, man. Right on.
Please pull forward. Welcome to Drive Through Worship. Would you like to try our new hands-free worship?
Hi, I'm pretty new to this. Have any suggestions for me?
Would you like praise with that?
I'm pretty open. I just want to praise God for who He is.
Would you like to try our new hands-free worship?
Hello?
Please pull. Would you like hymns? Would you like praise? Please pull. Go forward. Would you like to try our worship? Can I help you?
Hello?
Maybe if all we wanted to do was praise God for who He is, that would keep our focus exactly where it needs to be. We're talking about what worship is and how God wants to work through each of our lives this morning. The diversity of who we are is really seen in so many different ways. And really, if we all set up worship according to what we would want out of worship, it certainly would not make everyone happy. We've talked about this before, and my goal is to really make everybody unhappy. Because really, there should be a way that we're all giving something in worship. So there should be some part that we're not like I wish they would do that less or more or whatever. So it helps all of us to be able to understand worship just a little bit differently. So today we're going to really focus on that, talk about what that means from a biblical perspective. And the scripture is, God is spirit, His worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And so the importance of understanding spirit and truth, and as God wants to work through each of our lives in that whole aspect of worship. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning that we might better understand You and what You want to teach us as a result of worship. Thank You, Father. And we just say, speak to us, and we'll give You thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor Ryan is going to share a little bit in the first part of our outline, understand a little bit more about worship.
Thanks. Yeah, you advance it. You're better at that.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I've already been singing with you a little bit this morning. If you allow me to talk with you for a few minutes, that would be awesome. We're going to talk about, just for a few minutes, about what worship is. And if I say praise and worship to you, what is the first word that comes to your mind? singing, music maybe. Praise and worship, that phrase for us kind of has a lot of things that automatically come with it. There's good reason for that, but there's also more to it than that. And so I want to help you a little bit this morning. Worship is, and this is an English word, it's an English definition, ascribing worth to something or to someone. Ascribing worth to something or someone. Let me give you some words, other words, Hebrew and Greek words that may help expand this for you just a little bit. There's a word shakah. It means to bow. It's the most used Hebrew word for worship in Scripture. There's a lot of, you're going to hear a lot of physical response to all of this. Now, sometimes when we think, okay, praise and worship, I think music, I think singing, I might think church, I might think broader in the service, but there's a lot more to it than that. Abad, a bondservant or bondsman, used for worshiper often. James refers to him to himself as this word in the beginning of his book, and when he says a bondservant, in tradition, as far as slavery was concerned, a slave would be kept for 7 years. At the end of that 7-year period, they would release that slave, but he could choose to not be released. The slave could actually choose to stay on with that master. And if he chose to stay on with that master, he would be called a bondservant. The reason he would stay on is because now he was no longer obligated to do so. He now chooses to do it because he loves the master. If he loves the master that much, he wants to stay with him. He doesn't want to go somewhere else. And so he stays on as a bondservant. So you can understand as us, as worshipers, it's not an obligation that we would worship God. It's really coming out of a response of we want to, out of love, out of a proper response for the master. Another word used is proskuneo. It's to prostrate, kissing towards, to adore. Most used word for worship in Scripture in the New Testament. And that, or the Greek, most used Greek word in Scripture. Now, that word, to prostrate oneself, it's an extremely humbling thing. Now, that word, we hear it in the Christmas song, Angels Prostrate Fall, but so many of us say prostate when we sing that. Like, you hear that, don't you? Angels Prostrate Fall. That would look interesting, I imagine, to see that happen. Or people say they're having prostrate issues in their body, and I think, like, you're having trouble laying down flat on the ground. Prostrate oneself is to kind of humble oneself. It's to lay flat. It's a very physical word again. Latreuo, to minister to God, to render religious homage, to serve. And so when you see the word worship in Scripture, it may be one of these, and it most likely has some sort of a physical attachment to it. Number two, the object of my worship is only as valuable in my perception as the worship I offer to it. I put in my perception there because I don't want you to get the understanding that God somehow loses value if we don't show him proper response in worship. God's character doesn't change. Nothing about him changes despite how we respond. If we respond with a full heart in worship, God's still the same. If we never say God's name or acknowledge him in our lives, he stays the same. So I don't want you to think that. But the object of my worship is only as valuable to me in my perception as the worship I offer to it. Let me give you an example. How little have some of you paid to see a movie in your lifetime? What's the lowest? 50, 10 cents, Army? 10 cents. Was it in 3D?
That was 15 cents in 3D.
15 cents for 3D, okay. If you want to see a movie at the movie theater, right now I think it's like $9.25 or $9.50 or something like that. Crazy, isn't it? $9.50 to see a movie, and then like $11-something to see that movie in 3D, and some IMAX is even more than that. If you want to see a movie, you're not going to pay to see that movie unless it's worth it to you in theater. If it's not, you'll probably wait to see it on Redbox. You'll probably get it through Netflix or something like that. You may not watch it at all if it's just not worth it to you. But if it really is something that you'd like to see on the big screen, you've been waiting for a while for it to come out, you're going to rush to the theater, you're going to happily, well, maybe not happily, but you're going to pay the $9.50 and you're going to see that movie. I want you to think about it like this. If you think God is worth it, you'll give it to him. You'll give all of it to him. If you think God is worth your time on Sundays only, you'll give time to him on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you won't. If you think God is worth a portion of your day, you may give him some time. If you think God is worth everything, you'll give him everything. So the object of my worship, God in this case, is only as valuable in my perception as the worship I offer to him. If I give him everything, I must think he's worth everything. If I give him less, I must think. Now you say, well, I don't really believe that, but don't our actions, don't they come out of what we truly think? If I really, really thought that God was worth everything, I would really give him everything. Number three, worship requires sacrifice. Look at this scripture. It says in Genesis 22:5, he, Abraham, said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Do you remember what Abraham was going to do? He was going to give his son Isaac. God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Interesting that Abraham chooses the words, he and I will worship, we'll go over there and we'll worship, and then we'll come back to you. Sometimes God asks us to give up things. Pastor Riley's going to talk more, but it's not drive-through worship, is it? Church is not about what I can get so much as it's what I'm going to be giving today. It's going to require something of you. It's going to be a sacrifice of time. It's going to be a sacrifice of money. It's going to be a sacrifice of sometimes preference, right? I mean, I'm sure of it. I don't get complaint emails from you, and I hope me saying this doesn't generate any, but I don't get complaint emails from you saying, boy, I wish worship would have been more like this. I wish it would be more like that. Now, I don't take that to mean that you all love every song that we sing. I know you don't. But I think that your mindset is bigger than your preference. I think that God has spoken into your lives in such a pretty miraculous way that of 1,500 people, I don't get those kind of email responses to say, you know what, I think I'm gonna give this song to somebody else. I may not like it, but it might be for someone else. And we're all going to come to those places where we give something to someone else. Number four, we are called to worship. It says in Scripture to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Ooh, there's a lot of alls in there. There's a lot of response in there, and we're called to do it. We're called to do it. It's in Scripture all the way through. It's a command. Number five, our worship communicates. I was just hinting at this a little bit this morning before we sang, Let the Worshippers Arise. Do you know there's an incredibly evangelistic nature to your worship? When you're worshiping, when you're giving everything you have to God, when you're singing, when you're praying, when you're responding to God in worship, whether it's corporately or privately or with friends at home or whatever you're doing, you're communicating something. First of all, you're communicating to God, that's for sure. You're giving him something, you're letting him know how much you love him, how grateful you are. That's the number one priority. But secondly, those who see you doing that are seeing something different about your life than what they see anywhere else in the world. And so they see other types of religion, they see other types of things, but our God is unique. And so as you give worship to him, as you sing to the one who died on the cross, as you give everything to that God, the people around you are watching. And even in a corporate worship setting, those of you who are free to express and to respond are helping others around you to do the same. And non-believers, as they look at that, as they see that, they're really seeing something different about us. And they might think it's weird at first. They might think it's unusual. But as God starts to work in their lives, they see it as something unique. They see it as something valuable and something different. In a world that complains all the time, a world that worships is going to be drastically different. Number six, worship is ministry to God, not to man. Now, I think I just kind of said the opposite thing in that it does help to communicate to others, but we can't get that priority off base. We can't think for a moment that worship doesn't start and end with God. We just sang it. It's all about you. It's all about you. And I know we've heard different and conflicting messages at times, but when you come in here on a Sunday morning, when you sing in your car, when you respond to God in prayer, it's all about him and not about anybody else. Number seven, we are designed to worship. We're designed to worship. It's why everybody's doing it. You know, everybody in your life is worshiping. Everybody in your world, everybody that you know, have known, will know, is a worshiper. They just might not be worshiping the same thing. Some worship God. Some worship recreation. Some worship work. Some worship family. We're worshiping something. There's a quote that says, whatever we worship will eventually out itself in our lives. Whatever it is that we give everything to, it will become evident to us and to those around us. So who we worship, what we worship becomes extremely important. How many of you know you can actually hammer a nail into the wall with something other than a hammer? Yeah? I've used water bottles, right, Julie? Julie helped me hang some pictures in my office, and I was using the back of a water bottle. You can use lots of things, but man, nothing works quite like a hammer, does it? I mean, it was designed for it. And so you can worship other things in your life. You can use other opportunities to give praise, to give time and energy to other things. But when you give worship to God, you start to tick exactly as you were designed. You start to function exactly as you were designed. And all of a sudden, things start to line up. You know, when you eat healthy, your body responds better. I mean, it might feel good to eat that greasy thing at the Bloomsburg Fair, and man, does it feel good to eat it. But an hour later, you're kind of like, oh, like, I'm not sure. Like, I never feel that terrible after a carrot stick. I never feel that good while I'm eating it. But I never feel that bad after it either. Because we're designed for something better. We're designed for worship. Pastor Ali is going to share more about that with us.
Why do we worship? There's an important understanding of how God wants to work through each of our lives. And there, as Pastor Ryan has said, we are created and designed for worship. And so it's important because God first commanded us to worship. So if we look at that importance and we say, okay, God has commanded us, then it's not an option, folks. It's not an option. And so there's a great importance to say, okay, how do I worship and all those kinds of things, but I'm commanded to worship. That's why when you come in to worship here and worship together, like, you need to set aside all those other thoughts. Because if you're just going to think about what the person looks like in front of you or what they're wearing or what they're doing or whatever, then you're losing your sense of worship, and all you're going to do is be focusing on that rather than on God. So we're commanded. He said, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So it's worship. It's telling you directly, this is a command. God's called us to that. He's also called us because it brings encouragement to each other. We've got to remember that when we come together for worship, we're like a team. We're like a football team. We're not the audience cheering in the background. We're the players. We're all part of this together. And so there's such an importance of making sure every one of us is realizing we have a part in this. We contribute to this worship. And so my active involvement is going to make a difference. Scripture says, let us consider how we may spur one another together to love and good deeds. And that is when we meet together. So that's all part of that, as we would see that. Now, the church is a building of people built together in Christ. And so if we're a building, and as Scripture says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So if we're all part of a building, every part plays a role and every part is important. And so every one of us contributes to worship. And so it's an important message that we need to hear. It's, you know, kind of like you play that like Jenga where you can kind of pull out pieces and find out if it's going to fall as a result. Well, there are probably a few pieces that we could pull out and it won't fall. But ultimately, the support and strength of worship is built by all of us participating together. And that's why it's really important. Now, because we can only experience fellowship, encouragement, accountability, and full use of the spiritual gifts when we are gathered as a body. So why do we worship? Well, because this is part of the full experience that God wants to bring. And so when we all do it together, we find fellowship, encouragement, and accountability. So there's a part of that that is very necessary that happens only when we gather together as a body. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So a natural result of all of this corporate worship, doing this together, is that people come to Christ and salvation happens. When do we worship? Let's talk about that. When we are gathered together in his name. ever since the New Testament and after the resurrection, they began to gather no longer on Saturday, but on Sunday. And Sunday became the first day of the week. And so just as you do your first fruits, when we do our first fruits, that's when you give to God first before you pay your bills, right? So you make that first choice. God gets the first. He gets the top. And then you take care of everything else with what's left. Now, what is our temptation? Let's take care of everything else, and if we have enough left, we'll take care of God. Wrong. It's the reverse. First fruits mean we gather together in the first of the week. We give him the beginning of the week so that the rest of the week fits in because we make him a priority from the very beginning. For where two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. So when we gather together, God is here with us. When we are gathered together as a body, so there's some significance of being together as a whole body. When do we worship? When we gather as a body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So there's a thankful spirit that needs to be a part of our worship as well. So if you're going to experience the full presence of God, you've got to give him the full presence of your mind, your thoughts, and everything that is about that. When we have opportunity to ascribe worship to God. So when do we worship? When we have this opportunity. What do we see in Scripture? God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So there's got to be a balance in our worship, truth being the word of God and understanding the message that is there, spirit, letting the Holy Spirit work through us and in us. Many times people get this out of balance. They have lots of spirit, but not much truth. Or they have lots of truth and not much spirit. God calls us to be worshiping in balance of spirit and in truth. And so there's a message that needs to be there. When do we worship? When the body meets together. So here we are as the body of Christ, and we all need to be a part, active part of worship. And the scripture tells us this, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So God calls us to meet together. People will say, oh, I can worship God any place. You can. Absolutely. You can worship God. I can worship God on the golf course on Sunday morning. Okay. It's true, but if you do, you're neglecting what God has called us to do. He says, no, I want you to meet together. That's an important part. Don't give up that, as some are in the habit of doing. No, we need to make sure it's a priority in our life. I really feel that when we have to make worship, and it's a part of our lives, not on our conditions and on our expectations and on what our demands, but when we're having to conform to someone else's, it's such an important message. You can watch TV and probably get a better sermon than the one I'm going to give you on Sunday, but you don't have corporate worship. You aren't part of a body when you do that. And that's why there's such an importance and a message of making sure that we are part of a body of Christ. We serve one another. We grow. We learn. We encourage. Now, how do we worship? This becomes a really important part of understanding. Let me say this much. We need to worship with a fully surrendered life. We need to worship with a fully surrendered life. You need to be present in your mind. Sometimes we come and worship and we're not present. Do you know what? We got your body. It's here. But we don't have your mind. I mean, it's not with us at all. Like, I really feel there's such an importance of making sure. Now, I know there are some that as soon as we hear the word praise and music, we do this. And that's okay as long as you're fully there. You're fully there. I mean, we have to get to a point. And my last point is there are many expressions of worship. Yes. And all I'm saying is that every one of us needs to be fully present. I can't tell if you're fully here by your faces. I'll just say that. Because some of you don't look like you're fully here. Some of you look like you're someplace else, or you wish you weren't here. I'm not sure who dragged you in today, but I'm just saying there are some times that that's what seems to be communicated. If we're fully, I find for my worship, I need to make sure I am fully engaged in my thinking. Now, I'm a little ADD. I do know that. There goes a squirrel. I mean, I'm just like, I have difficulty focusing sometimes. And so I really have to make sure that it's not just my mind, but every part of me is focusing. I have to make sure that I'm fully engaged and involved. And I'm not saying that every person has to worship the same. You don't. But I want you to understand it was a journey for me to be an active worshiper in front of a group of people. Because it didn't just happen. I mean, I was not born like this, praising God when I came out of my mom. No, that didn't happen that way. In fact, when I first started to offer my praise to God and to lift my hand, I can remember it felt awkward. It felt strange. I felt like, this is weird. And I thought, well, I think you're supposed to do this. And I think everybody's looking at me because my hand is in the air. This is weird. And so I know the journey I had to go through to become, filter everybody else out and be fully focused on God. It didn't happen for me to just say, I gave my heart to Christ and suddenly my arms went like this. It didn't happen that way. It just didn't. And I want you to understand. So it's a journey. And when I first became actively involved in worship, and so I tried to make my mind fully there, it didn't stay there. Because when I'm using my full body for worship, and I'm using my hands or whatever, my heart, I'm focusing, all the time I would think, I wonder what they think about me. That went through my head over and over until I finally had to come to a point where I could just say, it doesn't matter. It's what I think about God that matters. And then I became freer. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to raise your hands, everybody has to clap your hands, everybody has to smile, or everybody has to sing. Some of you worship like this. Now, if we study body language, we'd say you're not really into this, right? But I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your mind. You may be totally focused on God, and this is like maybe where you are. I don't know. Maybe it makes you feel more comfortable or secure. I don't know. I can't judge that. I can only say that all of us need to be fully surrendered and focused on God to really express our full worship. I find in my privacy, I mean, of my home or my personal time with God, I am more comfortable in worshiping. And sometimes all I can say is Jesus, but that's enough. And so when I sing a song, I try to make my focus on exactly what the words are. Even if I don't like the song, I like to focus on what are the words saying, because that can minister to my heart and it can help me to express greater worship. All I'm saying is that we need to be fully surrendered. And that's why he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So be fully surrendered in worship. Let yourself be fully focused on him. How? With a joyful and a grateful heart. You know, being a natural critic is not really a gift. You may think, I'm just a critic and it's a gift. Well, give it back. Because it's not doing you any good. What you need to do is you need to focus on being joyful and grateful. Because if you are, God's going to make a difference. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Do you know what the biggest book in the Bible is? and it's a songbook. Psalms. Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible, and it's a songbook. Why? Because there's something that's important that happens inside our hearts when we praise. Let me tell you this, you're designed for praise. That's how God wired you. He created you with that, and when you're doing it, you're going to find your greatest joy. And let me say this, I believe we're so designed for this that even if you're not a believer, I think there's something that happens inside of you when you offer praise, because you're created to worship. That's how we're created. Now, you're going to get so much more when you have a right focus and a right heart and a belief in how God's working. Let the message of Christ dwell in, among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Great stuff. With a variety of music. And so what does he say to us? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can really experience God's presence when we are in song and we're experiencing that with a variety of expressions. You know, Scripture tells us all kinds of things about how we should express our worship. And I think this is important for us to understand, because there's something that happens when my body is engaged in worship. There's something that happens in my mind and my spirit and my focus when my body is engaged. And so, lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. It's scriptural, so don't feel uncomfortable. It's all part of it. We see also, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. So a clap offering is appropriate. It's there, and we express that to God. Just make sure you think about what you're doing. Don't just do it. Don't just do it. Don't just do it without thinking about what you're doing. And then look at this. This psalm is one of the psalms that tells us, Psalm 150, and he says, let's read it together, okay? And you can skip the little parentheses that is there. The timbrel was a type of drum. So some people think drums shouldn't be in church. Looks like the Bible just told us it is. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's see. Let's read this together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with a harp and with a lyre. And praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's certainly a very significant element of praise that needs to be a part of worship when we come together. Let's read this together. This is what worship is. Worship. We worship God by gathering on Sundays. It's one of our priorities and something that we say. You can, if you serve two times, like if you don't come to Sunday morning worship and you're serving in a Sunday school class and in children's ministry or youth or whatever, and you never get in here, there's a part of you that's missing. If you can say this, we're like a living water, a river of water. If water just flows into a certain area and stays there, it gets stagnant. It's got to have an input and an output. So that's what you need to have. This is an input. Worship, when we come together, that's a way for you to be able to gain in your spirit to grow. If all you do is serve, I discourage you from just serving both times. Why? Because you're giving all the time, but you're not taking in. When you're here, this is an opportunity to take in and to have a healthy spirit. You need worship. You need to take in as well as to give out. Now, we're going to be talking about the fact that you not only need to take in. So if all you do is come here on Sunday and take in, that's not healthy either. You need to find your ways to serve, and that's going to be coming up as we keep working through this. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your faithfulness, and your goodness to us. Lord, we praise you because you are awesome. We praise you because you deserve it. We praise you with our whole heart. We praise you this morning. You are God. Let our hearts and our praise always be resounding to you. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you and go with you.